Malachi chapter 3, and if you read your Bibles from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, you're going to discover a principle that's undeniable, and it's this. God has designed it so that obedience brings blessings. There's no way around it. When you and I obey the Lord, they might not always be apparent to us, but blessings are the result of that. We may not necessarily recognize those blessings when they come. We may not even appreciate them and take time to give thanks, but they come nonetheless when we have obeyed God in His Word. The other side of that coin is when you and I choose to disobey God or partially obey God, there's always some measure of hardship or difficulty that results from that. And you say, well, I've disobeyed the Lord many times and nothing happened. Well, the thing about it is it doesn't, we don't necessarily see it right then. Some things are realized way down the road. And again, we might not consider that there's consequences, but when you and I are disobedient, there's some sort of negative result in our life as a result of that. Of course, if we repent and we correct that, then those results are lightened or maybe even be removed. But we cannot try to give instances or exceptions to that rule and say, well, you know, so-and-so does this and so-and-so does that, and I don't see anything negative in their life. We are not equipped to make those measurements. You see, God sees our lives from the beginning to the end, and we only see our lives from frame to frame. And so if we don't see immediate results from our disobedience or our obedience in our lives, we think that somehow we're the exception to the rule, when in fact we're very much in line with the rule. So I want to illustrate this point to you this morning, and I'm going to use money to make my point. Okay, money always seems to get people's attention, in spite of the fact that many people will not admit it. Money is important to us all. Now, I know people say, oh, I don't care about money. No, money, you go to work in the morning because money's important to you. You buy things on sale because money is important to you. We shop for the cheapest gasoline because money's important. We don't let our sprinklers run 24/7 in the summer because money's important to us. So money has a certain place in our life. It's important to us, and God knows it's important to us. And so many times in the Bible, many times God spoke principles and spoke in terms of finances because He knew that would hit home with His people. 16 out of the 38 parables that Jesus gave in the Gospels were concerned with the handling of money or resources or possessions in some way, form, or fashion. So that's why God's primary source of illustration in Scripture is money, because it hits home with you and I. He knows it's very much a part of our everyday life, and consequently, He knows it's a subject that we will understand and relate to. And so money is going to illustrate this principle that I'm bringing to you today about obedience and disobedience. Obedience always brings positive results. Disobedience will bring some sort of difficulties or negative results in our life somewhere along the way, especially if it's persisted in. And so one of the hardest things for you and I as Christians to get a hold of and sell out to is being a giver. It's just hard. I admit it myself. Giving sometimes, especially early on when we begin to learn about it, it's just so difficult for us to get a hold of. We think, now you mean I'm going to give my money away? Well, yes. Sometimes we want to hang on to it so badly, we just can't. But here's the thing is, we're not wanting to hang on to it. We're just wanting to appropriate it in a different place. 9 out of 10 times it doesn't go to the bank. It goes into something that we would rather have, you see. And so it's natural for you and I to not want to give the way God says to give. So what do? Well, we either don't give at all, or we try to just kind of dabble in it a little bit. I tried that early on in my Christian walk. I thought, well, they're teaching me, and the Bible does say, and it's very clear that God loves a cheerful giver, so I'll dabble in it. Well, dabbling in it doesn't work, because partial obedience is equal to disobedience. There's no way around that, okay? So what we really do when we dabble in our giving is we're telling God that we know we're supposed to be giving, but we don't want to. So that is probably, if I were in God's position, that would be more displeasing to me than someone that would just ignorantly not giving at all. So does giving biblically make a difference in our everyday lives? Absolutely. Of course it does. Giving partially makes a difference in our everyday life in that it sends the wrong message to God and very well could be worse than not giving at all. I've experienced it and you've experienced it in our life if we've ever been disobedient to God in any area, not just money. Certain little things will come up. And we think, well, what's going on here? Sometimes God's trying to get our attention. I'm going to give you, I'm going to be very candid here with a subject pertaining to myself. And Trish has nothing to do with this because she wouldn't even know one way or the other, okay? But my income in some ways is set. Of course, my income from the church is set, okay? And in her income is set. But because, and by the way, we tithe on that, and we give to missions off of that, and we've been committed to that for years. But because the nature of the way I operate, and I don't have to explain that, but I have other things that go on. And that could be losses or gains. And so when the losses come, and there have been some big ones at times, okay, I don't go adjust my tithes. I don't go say, well, I lost money. I can go get more. Don't have to tie this. I don't do that. However, when gains come, and sometimes they're significant, sometimes they're very surprising. I didn't expect them. But I found that I had become lax in my attitude towards giving in that I didn't keep a good account of the blessings. And so I wasn't giving accordingly, you see. I still tithing on my standard income and still giving to missions and never cut back. But when there's some huge increase as a result of something else, then I wasn't real attentive to going taking care of that and saying, here, God, here's 10% of what you just blessed me with. You see? And I don't think there was any intent on my part to avoid that. It was just negligence, okay? But God showed me very quickly, about a year ago, says, you know what? God owns all the money, folks. You know that, okay? And he pointed that out to me. And so I very quickly, the point was clear. And I very quickly began to get that in order. And it's details, yes. But I think it's important details. And I got that lined out. And folks, I'm going to tell you, the blessings and the peace that I got and the blessings were far beyond what I ever dreamed. And I thought, you know what? I wish I would have been more attentive before that. I understand, folks, that the stresses of finances are tremendous on the families of our church, especially on the men of the house, keeping up with the mortgage and keeping the electricity on, the groceries in the cupboard and gas in the tanks. And then on top of that, you have all of these incidentals that come up, things that just pop up that are unexpected and unwelcome. That root canal that you have to have. I've had two of them in my lifetime, you know. There's $2,000 goes there that you weren't expecting. And then that increase of your insurance premiums that takes $30 out of your check every 2 weeks. And I understand all of these things. And it's pressure. It's extreme pressure. And I will not say that those things like that are necessarily a result of disobedience, okay? Don't think that. That's just life happening, okay? But what we don't need in our life is the additional stress of being children of God, being redeemed, being His, and not willing to obey Him in any area of our life. And consequently, we can't have peace in that area on top of the other stresses. God can do anything He wants, folks. God has every resource at his fingertips, and he is pleased to, or he's able to distribute it as he pleases. And wouldn't it make sense for him to distribute it to those who please him with obedience? Of course it does. So with that, I want to read our text in Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to begin in verse 8. And the scripture says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive." Here's what I want you to pay close attention to. "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And ye shall not destroy," excuse me, "he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before its time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, let me tell you the title of this message if you didn't notice it in your bulletin. The title of the message is, "Don't cover your ears," okay? Why do I say that? Because I know when we begin to talk about these subjects, many times we automatically quit listening when the subject of giving is brought up. So let me just reason with you for a moment. If it comes from God's word, don't you think it's important for you and I to hear it? Of course you do. I have no ulterior motives. My preacher, he's joking with me, but I talked to him yesterday. And he says, "Well, what are you preaching?" I said, "Well, I was going to preach on this other particular subject in 2 Kings, but I said, once I got started, God took me in this direction. Believe it or not, I'm preaching on giving." He said, "Oh, yeah, you're doing a remodel. Now you're going to have to preach on giving, right?" Folks, that's not it at all. We have the resources to do this remodel. It has nothing to do with that. And if you've been around here very long at all, you know that this is not something that I rarely touch on. But it's important to preach the whole counsel of God's word, so it has to be touched on from time to time. But no, I have no ulterior motive. Whether you and I, am disobedient in my giving, it affects me. But if you're disobedient in any area of your life, it doesn't affect me at all, okay? But as your pastor, I think it's important that all of us recognize from God's word what his intents are and what his purposes are for our life. God is not in need of money, okay? I can promise you that. He is not. But the message is for us to learn to be obedient in every area of our life. Because guess what? We are in need of God's favor. Whether we realize it or not, folks, we need God's favor. And God's favor is upon those that please him with obedience in every area of our life. There would be somebody that would argue and say, "Well, I kind of do my own thing and I'm doing just fine. I just bought a big TV and I've got a new car. I seem to be doing fine." Well, let me tell you this. Financial peace is not measured by what we own, okay? With today's credit terms and sources of credit, any person can buy almost anything they want if they set their mind to it. That's just the way that is. So that's not a measure of success. Well, I'm going to tell you, I discovered a long time ago, my well-being is determined more by the peace I have in my heart between me and God when I lay down at night, more so than any possession I could possibly own. I mean, I've learned that. Now, I've been caught up in possessions, believe me, throughout my life, and it never delivered enough for me to continue with it. I just want to be right with God. If the possessions are incidental, then that's great, okay? So, I want you to notice what he says in verse 11. He says, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time." What does that verse tell us? It tells us that life's hardships do happen, okay? Life's incidentals do exist. They pop up. Aren't there so many little things that just pop up in our lives that just seem to drain our resources or our bank account and just eat away at our bottom line. Man, there's plenty of them, too numerous to mention. When this book was written, it was almost totally an agrarian society. In other words, at that time, everything revolved around agriculture. Vineyards, orchards, crops, livestock, those are the things that drove the economy at that time. And so some of the negative circumstances that would pop up would be something like locusts that could come along and eat away at your crop, or different kinds or various kinds of worms that could get in the roots of your crops and hinder the production, or adverse weather, excessive rain, excessive heat, early freeze, late freeze, these things that affected grain production. Well, these are things that you and I don't pay that close of attention to today unless we're in the agriculture department. But at that time, it was everything hinged on that, okay? And so what God is saying there in that verse, he says, I will rebuke the devourer. Now, the devourer would be something that eats away, right? In that case, it was the crops. In our case, it would just be whatever part of our life. Eats away at our finances, eats away at our time. Just the things that devour our resources, the things that we have at our fingertips, and the things that just chew away at us, okay? Well, God says in verse 11 that he can rebuke the devourer. That word rebuke means to speak to and correct. So if God rebukes the devourer, it means that he can correct the devourer. He can tell the devourer what to do. The things that devour our bank account, the things that drain our resources, those things have to obey God. Those things can't happen without the permission of God. If God can speak to a storm and calm it, if he can speak and cause an earthquake, don't you think that God can speak to life's incidentals and say, no, don't happen. That's my kid. He's doing good. Leave him alone. Of course he can. He can speak to things that might otherwise cause us great amounts of resources, and he can make them not happen at all. You say, you mean God can keep my car from breaking down? I'm telling you, if he could keep the Israelites who walked across the desert for 40 years and kept their shoes from wearing out, I think he can handle your vehicle. He can make your vehicle run on fumes for 30 miles, and how many times have you needed that? You know, why are we so hard-headed? I guarantee it, I've heard it 100 times. Oh, when that light comes on, I've still got 72 miles. We're dumb enough, we deserve to be on the side of the road sometimes. You know what reminds me of a story of this blonde lady? Whoa, okay. I really don't know her hair color, okay, but it's about this lady, and she's on the side of the road, car stopped on her, a couple of fellas stopped by to help her, and after looking everything over, they realized she just run out of gas. One of the men went up to the window and said, ma'am, there's nothing wrong with your car. You've just run out of gas. She says, well, you think it'll be all right if I drive it on in? Yes, God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and for whom he wants, in favor of whom he wants. I don't find it strange at all that God can reduce the amount of difficulties we face in life according as he pleases. But notice what it is contingent on. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings that there are not room enough to receive. Now, that relates to giving, yes, and of course that is very much a part of our subject, but it really equates to basic obedience, whatever area of life. God can choose to bless you in your marriage if you choose to be obedient in your relationships. God can choose to bless you in your business if you choose to be obedient in principles regarding your business according to the Word of God. It hinges on obedience to the Word of God in regards to giving or any other area of our life. The blessings of God are based on obedience, and hardships and difficulties many times come from disobedience. But something else we find in this text, beyond God's ability to rebuke the devourer, and I really like that ideal, guys. I like him keeping my vehicle running. I like him keeping the hot water heater from going out. I like those things, okay? He can rebuke the devourer, but beyond that, he has his ability to, as verse 10 tells us, to pour down blessings. To rain down, if you will, blessings on our life, he says, that are beyond what we can receive. Now, our human nature is to think, well, that means we're going to hit the jackpot. That means that our ship is coming in. The publisher clearinghouse sweepstakes, they're coming to my door. Or that surprise inheritance from my long-lost aunt is going to come my way. And you know, that's the way we tend to think, okay? And yes, God could do those things if he wanted. It's nothing too difficult to him. But the greater part of the time, folks, the blessings that God chooses to give us and result to our obedience are giving in and through the areas of life that we already have our hand in. Again, our marriage that we already have. Again, the children that we already have. Again, the business that we already have. God can do any of those things and chooses normally, usually. Now, it's not exclusively. He can do anything he wants. But normally, he says, I'm just going to bless what you're doing right now. And consistently bless it. It might be a promotion at work. It might be a raise. It may be a bonus. It may be a return on a particular investment. It may be increase the amount of business he brings us if we are self-employed. It might be a large contract secured from another company, whatever. But he's just saying, I just will bring blessings where you are already, okay? Quit looking on the horizon for your ship to come in. Just keep being diligent in what you're doing and be obedient, and I'll bless what you've already set your hand to. I want you to notice the terminology there he uses in verse 10. He says, the windows of heaven, he said he'd open up, and pour out. Okay? That reminds us of one thing. Rain, right? Great showers of rain. Again, at that time, everything revolved around crop production and harvest. And so rain was an important thing. And it goes on in verse 10. He says, room enough that you won't have room enough to receive it. That lends our mind over to storing grain and fruits of the land. And so he's just simply, God is saying there in that, I'll bless what you're already putting your hands to. When we obey the Lord, which should always be, it ought to be not to get blessings, okay? Now that's great, and it is a motivator for sure, but we should always serve the Lord just out of love for him. I want to obey you, God, because you're my God, and you redeemed me, and you're the creator, and you love me, and you don't have to love me, God, and I am going to obey you and choose to please you by loving you. I mean, by obeying you. By my observation in my own life and in the lives of people around me and in the lives of those in the Word of God, God wants to take our lives right where they are, right where we are, in the marriage we're in the business we're in, and he wants to start his blessings right there. He wants to begin in the areas. So often we get so distracted. And by the way, it's not wise to go buy a lottery ticket after you've tithed thinking that's where your ship's going to come in, okay? That's not the way God wants it done. He's saying, just obey me. Let me take care of the abundant part. I'll decide where that comes and what direction that comes from. But he will, if we will get a hold of this principle, and I'll close this out with these. By the way, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28 while I'm speaking these words. If we'll get a hold of this principle right here, It doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have just any area of life. This principle, if I will obey God, I will be blessed. Okay? If I choose to disobey God or partially obey God, I'm probably not going to go well for me. Not that he's going to strike me down, but there will be some difficulties. There will be some trials. That's just a result of not. If you've got kids at home and you're raising them and you lay down some rules of the house and your kids choose to disobey them, is it not going to result in some sort of difficulty for them? Of course it is. Because you're the one that rules the house. You made that rule. You expect them. Well, God is no different. He loves us. He's not mad at us. But it's just the rules that he lays down. We've turned over to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and there's no greater chapter in the whole Bible to drive home this principle than what we're about to read. And then when I read these verses, then we're done. Start in verse 1. God says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commands which I command thee this day." You know what he's saying? If you will obey, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, God is speaking to the nation of Israel in this text. God deals with nations as he deals with individuals. Goes on, verse 2, "And these blessings shall come on thee." I want you to pay attention. If you were in that age and in that time and in an agrarian society, that'll help you put yourself in their shoes. He says, "And these blessings shall come unto thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body," that's your offspring, your kiddos, "and the fruit of the ground," that's your crops, okay? "And the fruit of the cattle, and the increase of the kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt thou be in the basket and in the store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in and when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemy to rise up against thee and to be smitten before thy face, and shall go out against thee one way and flee thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses," that's your bank account, by the way, "and in all that thou settest thy hand to, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Here God is speaking again to the nation of Israel, and he deals with nations as he does individuals, and he's saying, here are the things that you can count on if you'll be obedient to me. Things we just read. Now, that's quite a promise. And that's something that you and I should learn to live by, is, hey, obedience is going to bring the favor of God. But here's the other side of the coin that we always have to consider as well. He goes on to say, and he pick up in verse 15, he carries the promise a little further. In verse 15, he says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all the commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day," watch this, "that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." He says, "Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed thou shalt be in the field. Cursed thou shalt be in the basket and in thy store. Cursed shalt thou be in the fruit of thy body," that's your children and offspring, "and the fruit of the land, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. And cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in and when thou goest out." And it goes on further, but there's enough said. Verse 19 sums it up when he says, "I'll bless you," or "I'll curse you coming and going." That's what he's saying. So that's another promise that has to be heeded. It's a principle that we cannot get away from, folks. That God's blessings come upon our obedience in any area of the Word of God. And difficulties and hardship, and if you really want to put it frank, judgment. Cursing comes in areas of God's Word that we choose to be disobedient. You know, that's not that hard. It's hard to do, but it's not hard to understand. God makes it simple. When your kids get out of line at home, you've laid down some rules, and you've done it for their own good. You know what's best for them. You've made the rules of the house. And one of them gets out of line, and they violate those rules. You're not going to kill them. You love them, okay? And when you discipline them, you do it because it's what's best for them. But aren't you going to reason with them and say, look, buddy, it's not that hard. The rule is this. It's what's best for you. I'm your father. Trust me. It's not that hard to get a hold of this. Don't you think sometimes God wants to say that to us? It's not that hard, kids. Get a hold of this truth. I want to ask you to stand.